The Bombers continue to be have drama surround them. They've been in the news for most of the year. They've dominated the news cycle early this week with the on-field and the associated dramas with that. Now there's some off-field drama. Unrest over the extension of Xavier Campbell's role. That's primarily coming from Robert Shaw. He's saying an independent external review should have been in place before the reappointment. Too much business, not enough football emphasis. And then Nova Peris has resigned from the Long Walk Foundation over a disrespect she says is shown to her by Xavier. I read the article, dispute over a payment about transferring Nova...
A statue.
I obviously know nothing about any of this. I don't know if you know anything about any of it, but it's not great to see your club in the news for the wrong reasons.
No, not at all. And this is generally what happens when a club underperforms. Every part of the club and every bit of behaviour about anyone associated with the club is examined and stories are written about what's going on. I would just like to say this, Gary. Where was all this discussion at the end of last season? Where were everybody now that was yelling for a review that needed to be done? Where were they at the end of last season when Essendon finished where they did? Okay, now, they made the finals. They got turfed out in the first week of the finals. Essendon's problem, I'm going to go over this again. I know I've said this many times. Essendon's problem right now is that they display an inconsistent brand of football. Their effort is inconsistent to win the ball. They can't move the ball freely when they have the ball, and they can't defend the ball when the they can't defend the ground when the opposition has the ball. Right now, I don't think they need a review into any other part of their football club other than the coaching department and the players, and find out why they are getting that part of the game so wrong. Am I completely misreading the situation? You can talk about all the other stuff, right? When Paul Brasher came to the club, he conducted a rigorous review.
Yes.
Okay. Rigorous review. And he interviewed everybody around the club and inside the club, and he did it personally, and you know, everybody's spoken about that in the past, about the conversations they may have had, and they looked at every component of the club. Okay. Let's give them a little bit of time to fix this. But right now, as I see it, my view of this is that it is an on-field problem about the way they play, and the people at the club who are given that responsibility to fix it are the coaches and the players, and they're the ones that can do something about this.
So Robert Shaw, I'm quoting directly, he says, there's been an external review at Carlton, which resulted in great results. There's been an internal review at Melbourne, which resulted in the ultimate result. And he speaks about appointments that were made since then. Shaw said there'd been too much emphasis on business and not enough on football at Essendon. Our core business is football. We've become the Essendon Football Bank or the Essendon Commercial Entity. Not enough on the footy. Now, the interesting part that was put to him was your frustration due to the fact that you were overlooked when you put your hand up to assist the club. He said it came from the... And he denied that. He said you've got to take people on the journey.
That's right. That's true. And, I would think there are people who do think that. And, you know, Robert is one of them. And, he's a great Essendon man. He started his career there, loves the football club, like really connected to the football club. And there are a lot of people out there frustrated. But the frustration needs to be directed, I believe, right now in the way they're playing. Clubs review themselves all the time. Quite right about, you know, Melbourne and other clubs and Richmond and, you know, like before Richmond won the flag, you know, like everybody was ripping into the club and every component of the club and everything was wrong at that time. The following year they go out and they win a flag. I'm not saying Essendon's going to do that, but when a club is underperforming, every part of it is examined forensically, and that's what's taking place at Essendon now. But for me, the part that they can fix and they should be fixing is what is taking place on field. And that is the responsibility of the coaching group.
Yep. And in terms of the other stuff, I know nothing about, and I know you just have said you don't know that. The thing at the end of this story, Michael Long says, and Michael Long's pivotal to the whole situation. He and Nova Peris have got great relationships. Long hadn't read Peris's email, but said the Long Walk Foundation had always had the great support of Xavier Campbell. So there's a man who's at the coalface of it, you know, saying that Xavier supported him enormously. So clearly there's an issue between Nova and Xavier. And that's the genesis of this big story.
Tom Brown reported last night on our news that James Heard does want to coach. Okay. Now, there'd been some speculation about whether or not he did or he didn't or what he was going to do, what he wanted to do. I believe that the story is absolutely 100% correct that he does want to coach. Ooh, in your mind, what would he need to do to satisfy a potential club out there that they would then be confident enough to appoint him, given that he's been out of the game for this period of time?
Yes, I'm absolutely going to answer that question, but just let me just backtrack. So you're saying 100% on the money that James Heard wants to coach AFL footy again?
That's what I am hearing, yes.
Wow. Don't bury the lead.
Which means, which adds weight to what he's doing at the Giants, because he was there just in a leadership advisory type role, conducting a leadership program up there. That's going to be extended into some part-time assistant coaching now with Mark McVay and also Dean Solomon. Now I'm looking at something. Okay, well, he's getting some experience again at the coalface of coaching, like in terms of, because the game moves all the time and he needs to pick up the speed of what's taking place and the changes that have been implemented over the time that he hasn't been involved in the game. What do you, if you were a club and he's out there and he applies for one of these jobs at the end of the year that may be available, what would you need to be satisfied about him to look at him as a serious candidate?
Time back in the system. Time, genuine, legitimate, get your hands dirty, do the hard yards, time back in the system. Immersed up to your neck in the system again. Not helping out a mate, Mark McVay, not part-time dabbling in a leadership, which is all great for Hurdy and great for the Giants, not doing a few weeks and then going to London, for business, which we've just come back from, I believe. So all that is great in terms of putting the tentative or taking a tentative step back to where he wants to go. But if what you're telling me is true, then I would imagine clubs need to say, okay, show us, immerse yourself, put everything else aside and then commit to the notion that you are 1,000% going down this path of wanting to be a senior coach again. So it might be a year, it might be 2 years, it might be 3 years back in the system.
So it would need to, you're talking really just then about the commitment to the actual
assistant coach,
being a coach, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And doing the hard 100%. Yards like we've seen a lot, like Michael Voss, leaves the Brisbane Lions and goes back into the system and goes through the slog of being an assistant.
It's a great example, Tim. He stayed in the system. He took his licks, learnt, what he had done wrong, if you speak to Michael about this, learnt his failings, if you like, from a Lions point of view, and then went and just became a committed full-time assistant coach to Ken Hinckley. Would and it, everything that comes with that.
Would he impress you? Would his CV impress you knowing that, okay, he was a great player, he coached for a period of time at Essendon, and then the experiences, the life experiences that he's been subjected to through this period of time when he hasn't been involved in AFL football, in business, what he went through personally with the whole Essendon saga, and then where he's been, the fact that he travels around the world, obviously, he takes note of what's going on, he's immersed himself in all those sorts of things. Yeah. Do they add significantly to his CV at all in your mind?
Yeah, they do. It fills out his CV, but he's behind an Adam Uze, for instance, in my eyes right now. Now, his standing in the game and his persona and aura and all those things give him a leg up, give him a head start. There's no question about that. And having been a senior coach, but he's been away, he's been out of it. Whereas Anuze or any of the other, the Adam Kingsleys of the world, they've been immersed at the absolute coalface.
Okay, so those guys have been immersed at the coalface and the tactical part of the game and the strategic part of the game and the day-to-day activities, that type of thing. That's one thing. But you and I have spoken about this many times, about capturing the hearts and the minds of the players and managing people. Yep. Maybe he's much better position now than he's ever been in his life to be able to do that and then bring other people in to do the strategy side of it or the tactical side of it, which he'll pick up quickly because he's intelligent.
I think that's all reasonable, but I think he has to prove that he can then lead a club again. And whatever you think of what happened at Essendon and all those sorts of things, that's still to be proved that he has, A, learnt from it. There's a humility that comes with it, which is what I think what I'm most impressed about with Michael Voss. The humility of having tried and failed, but then going back to work and coming back. So you'd want to see that from Hurdy. And then, Yeah, all the qualities that made him the great player, you know, and the coach, then give him a good chance. Give him a really good chance of doing it again. But you wouldn't be doing it just here. You're our man, come straight in and let's go. I think you'd want to see it first, my humble opinion.
Yeah, no, I think that what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Do you think that it's beyond the realms of possibility then that he's an AFL coach next year?
Yep. I do, yes. I do. And I think the way footy's gone, it would be a very, very brave club to turn around and appoint James as a senior AFL coach next year on the back of, you know, a couple of leadership. And that's my understanding of what he's doing at Giants. He may be doing more, but, you know, leadership and a second half of the year support to Mark McVay.
A sports news wrap. Victorian Chamber memberships. Wherever you are in business.
Inside Trading's live on the AFL website and the app. It's got all the latest contract, trade and draft news. Our man, Calculating Kel Toomey, dominates this space, joins us every Thursday. G'day, Calculating.
G'day, Tim. G'day, Gary. How are you guys?
We're good. Have you got a favourite vegetable, Cal, or something that you just don't like at all?
I'm a fan of a bit of lettuce and tomato. Yeah,
there's
nothing I don't like.
That's, hey.
Oh, you're adventurous.
You're my kind of man, Calculating.
You are adventurous.
Very early this morning, I put together a controversial list of the top 10 foods that add nothing to the food bowl, and I'm going to recap them. I'm actually stuck at 7, but anyway, we digress. Mm. You've got your ear to the ground, and I tell you what, at this time of year, around 8 it heats up. Tim Taranto is a GWS player. Is he out of contract at the end of this year?
He is out of contract there, Gary. He's the highest priority re-signing at the Giants. And as you say, out of contract. He wanted to get some footy under his belt this year to start the season and see how things are tracking before he opened talks. And also say a little bit positionally where he was being played, obviously midfield forward, and what that mix would be. Understand the Giants will meet with his management in the next week or so. They're keen to keep him. They're open to doing a 2-year deal, which would get him through to free agency, or a 4-year deal, locking him in the longer term. Now, he has Victorian clubs watching this space. There's certainly a lot of clubs crying out for a young, big-bodied midfielder. He's 24, won the best and fairest in a grand final year, so he's a star from the Sandy Dragons. He also loves Sydney, though, so he's been based up there for 6 years now and has spoken a lot about that. He's still a watch, though, and it'll be interesting if the Giants' coaching search now means there might be a bit more of a delay and less certainty on that one for Taranto, but certainly the Giants keen to do something there.
He'd be sitting back just waiting to see what happens, wouldn't he?
I would have thought so, at least for the short term. And the offers from his club and from other clubs aren't going to change too much regardless of that little wait. So, yeah, he's a spot to watch.
Hey, Hayden Young, Fremantle got a lot of impressive young players. He's one of them. Big deal coming his way?
Looming as a big result for the Dockers, Tim. Hayden Young, he's contracted already until the end of 2023, so the end of next year, but the Dockers have moved quickly to lock in him, and he's closing in on a 4-year extension. So that'd essentially time to Fremantle for the next 5 seasons, including next year, until the end of 2027, when he would become a free agent. So he's a Dandenong Stingrays boy. He was picked 6 in the 2019 draft, and shown plenty this year with that sharp left foot in defence. So that's a pretty good one looming for the Dockers, and pretty happy club at the minute.
Dan Rioli, he's had almost a career-best year across halfback.
Yeah, he's part contract talk. So we spoke a little while ago about Rioli being in no rush to open things, and he chatted with my colleague Sarah Olley at afl.com.au this week about that. He's part talks at Richmond for the moment, so that's definitely one clubs are keeping an eye on. He said there's nothing happening with his deal at the moment at this stage. So he's been good this year in defence. Obviously a triple premiership player. And we know the Rioli name's synonymous with Richmond. But without a contract status there, he only did 1-year deal last year. I think that's going to be an interesting one at the back end of this year.
Hey, Cal, we spoke with Casey Voss yesterday about the mid-season draft potential for him. What are you hearing?
Yeah, he's in the mix. There's obviously less than 2 weeks to go into the mid-season rookie draft. He played well in that game, the state game on the weekend, so obviously has flickered a little bit of interest there. The AFL gave some exemptions over the past week, and that's really shaken the tree, I think, on who clubs are looking at. There's a lot of interest in a guy called Josh Carmichael, 188-centimetre midfielder who kicks goals. He came from the country to play for West Adelaide this year in the sample. So he's got a number of clubs looking at him with their picks. Brett Turner, a 25-year-old forward. He had 38 and kicked 4 against Adelaide's Central side earlier this year. So the Crows have been linked a little bit to him now, to seeing if they might take him in the mid-season pool. James Blank, he's a key defender. Hawthorn's been struggling a little bit in key defence. They've had a few goals kicked on him in recent weeks. The Hawks were keen to get him to train with the club for a pre-season rookie spot. They weren't allowed at that point, but he's been given an exemption to be eligible for the mid-season draft. So they've had some success out of the mid-season draft out of Box Hill players. They obviously took John Newcomb last year. James Blank looming as maybe another one there too.
Calculating Kel in very, very good form at the moment. What about some unsigned first rounders? I know clubs go back and look at the draft and see which players were taken very highly who perhaps haven't been given opportunity or for whatever reason haven't quite made their mark.
Yeah, this is unusual, to be honest with you. There's 8 players who remain unsigned from the 2020 group of first round picks. Now, we're at the midway point of their second year. Most clubs look to lock these guys in really early in the piece. Essendon this week signed Archie Perkins to a 2-year deal. They'd wanted to lock him in for 3 years, but he wanted to, so he got to. Zach Reed and Nick Cox remain without deals at Essendon. Collingwood's Ollie Henry and Finn McRae haven't signed on. Max Holmes at Geelong. Bailey Laurie at Melbourne, who's getting pretty close to an AFL debut, Gaz, but he hasn't signed on yet. Also, Lockie Jones at Port Adelaide. Now, Port will start discussions on Jones mid-season on a new deal. He designed the Indigenous jumper the club's wearing this week and key part of their future. But there's no doubt that this is an unusual set of circumstances to have so many players from a first round still unsigned at the midway point of their second year. So we wait
What's
and see
theory?
A couple of those.
Yeah, why?
Well, there's been some bartering at the Bombers. There's no doubt about that. The Bombers have wanted to do Reed, Cox and Perkins for 3-year deals. At this point, all of them had wanted to do 2. So that's been some bartering on them. I think they'll stay. Max Holmes at Geelong had wanted to settle into the team. Now he's injured, so that's sort of created some uncertainty there. Henry and McRae haven't really even started talks to some extent. So there's different expectations on first-round deals, and different clubs are keen to put the money forward and some aren't. So I think that's where maybe clubs are pushing back a little bit now on the second-year deal for the top players. We know that that's been a boon for draftees coming in. If they're an early pick, their first contract is sometimes paid more on potential than production. But maybe clubs are starting to push back on that a little bit.
Hey, Cal, this is just a hypothetical one, but Dusty's been in the news after Damien Hardwick said what he did the other day. If he went to Sydney, of the two clubs there, who would be more likely to be able to accommodate somebody like a Dustin Martin? I'm talking about the salary part of it now.
Yeah, I think the Swans would be more likely than the Giants. The Giants would have to shed a couple of players to make that happen. They've been sort of manoeuvring their cap for a couple of years now, a few years now. They're just not in a cap position to be able to bring in players. That hasn't been part of their list management strategy because they haven't had the money. It's been more around retention than keeping their players. We know about a few of their long-term deals. So I think from a salary cap position, the Swans would have to obviously do some work to be able to make that happen. And it's sort of an unexpected one that's certainly come more and more over the last month with more people mentioning that it could be an opportunity. But I think the Giants would be hard up against doing that.
And the buddy money you don't expect to be the same as it is this year, next year, if indeed he goes on, which we think he will. I keep hearing the Goey and St Kilda. Now, there may be nothing in this at all, but that just keeps getting bounced around. This is not my area. I'm just putting it out there to you. Have you heard it?
Yeah, I think they'll be one of the clubs who are having a look and considering their play there. And they've had interest in him in the past. A few years ago, they made a play for him before he re-signed at Collingwood. And this is going to play out because, one, his form's been pretty solid across the year. And two, Collingwood aren't going to rush into a call on it. I think, really, Jordan wants to stay, I'm pretty sure. But the deal has to be right as well and has to be comparative to what he might get offered elsewhere. So I think his first inclination is to stay, and he's been wanting to open up talks and get the ball rolling there. But if you're Collingwood too, that I can see that their point of view that they'd sort of wait it out a little bit further and get the right deal. He's not going to be getting, I don't think, the 6-year mega deal that Darcy Moore got as a free agent. But other clubs might be willing to pay a little bit more and do that to attract him over the line. So I think St Kilda is definitely one of the clubs that will be considering that. But as you said, Tim, maybe do the Bombers have a look? Does Port Adelaide throw its hat in the ring? You know, as a free agent, they've got salary cap space. They need midfield options. So he might be one that could appeal there too.
Go and enjoy your lettuce and your tomato, Calculating.
I might throw some cucumber in too, guys.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're exotic. Well done. Inside Trading Live on the AFL website and the app. It's all the latest contract trade and draft news. Jump on right now. He's in good form. Here's the calculator. Great to have your company. It's Thursday. It's the 19th day of May. Tomorrow night, the AFL Round 10 gets underway. It gets underway at Marvel Stadium, and I reckon it's a belter, Wisp. I'm looking forward to this game. We've had some good games this year. 4th v 5th, Carlton take on the Sydney Swans at Marvel. Get a pretty good indication of where both these teams are at. Man will have a big say in proceedings. There's been a star in the middle of the ground for the Swans, and it's Callum Mills. Has been good enough to join us. G'day, Cal.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
When do you make your way down here to Marvel Stadium? Are you here already, or is it a trip down today?
No, we'll fly down today at about 1, so get down soon.
It's a great challenge, isn't it? This is a Carlton Footy Club who have re-established themselves, and it's early days yet, but they've got a midfield that's going to challenge you guys. Do you set yourself for Patrick Cripps right now? Is that what we're going to see?
No, I think it might be a collective sort of group effort. He's been on fire, and so have Carlton, to be honest. So we're going to have to be seriously on our game to take it up to these guys. But, I can't wait. Friday night game, a big game against a big club. So really looking forward to it.
No, it's going to be a massive game at Marvel Stadium. Cal, why did it take you so long to get into the midfield? We kept hearing from everybody up there at Sydney that you're a midfielder, recruited as a midfielder, but it took you a long time to get in there. You've established yourself now that you're in there, but why did it take you so long?
No, it was just pretty much what the team needed at the time. We had heaps of midfielders, and the best spot for me at the time to be able to impact the best I could for the team was half back. So I actually really enjoyed my time down there. You know, you learn how to defend, and you learn when mids aren't defending how much it costs you down back. So I've got a real appreciation for the boys back down there still.
And just on that point, do you reckon that is the best way to introduce somebody? We see Campbell playing there at the moment. Do you expect that at some point in time he'll move up into the midfield as well after he gets sort of the grounding?
Yeah, probably. I think it's just, the horse said it to me when I first came into the club. There's no sort of better way to learn or almost do an apprenticeship than down back. You get to appreciate the defensive side of things, and you can get to read the game a bit more with the game in front of you. And there's so many things that I've picked up along the way playing down there that that just makes you, I think, a better football overall.
Is there any chance that Georgie Hewitt might just wander up to you and say, righto, let's get at it on Friday night, Cal?
I don't know. Nah, Georgie's a great man. We love Georgie. He's done a bloody good job for Carlton at the moment, but we'll see what happens.
Explain to us the Josh Kennedy role this year, if you can. He's been such an important part of what you've done in Sydney over a long, long period of time. We've seen him as a sub, we've seen him as a wingman, a halfback, an inside mid. What's the expectations from Josh this year?
Just to sort of, I guess, play his role, similar to everyone. I think Joey's role sort of chopped and changed over time. And the best thing about Joey is he just takes it in his stride, and he's just happy to play his role, and he's happy to do whatever he can for the team. I think as a midfield group, we foot through the wings a fair bit. And so just to be able to play people in different positions is a bit of a strength for ours, to be able to run through the midfield, spin the wheels, I guess.
Are you a football... do you digest a lot of footy? I mean, do you read the papers, watch the shows, listen to podcasts or anything like that? Or are you just happy to play and then let whatever's unfold and get ready for the next week?
I'm not a hermit. Like, I know what's going on in the world, but I don't go seeking it. But, no, I'm pretty aware of it. If this is a lead into the Parksy question, I'm sure.
You've read the play beautifully. what have you made of all that?
It's obviously, I think it's blown a bit out of proportion in terms of how long it's gone on for. I was a bit shocked by that, but I guess media have got a job to do, and, I just think it's been, blown out a little bit out of proportion.
Was it brought up we heard Johnny Longmire yesterday talk about it. He said, I talked about it briefly with Luke, but nothing at all. But from the players' point of view, was it brought up at all?
We just briefly talked about it as a leadership group, but it was just a pretty quick conversation, and that was it, really.
Are they the sort of things that happen regularly on the footy field that we don't necessarily see or hear about, Callum?
Oh, yeah. I think that stuff happens a fair bit on the footy field in terms of going at people in terms of if they've done something wrong or, you know what I mean, even if it's banter, it happens a lot. But I think the fact that cameras picked it up because it's probably a bit more physical than what it was verbal and, you know, it happens a bit on the footy field. Yeah. I've definitely been on the end of different sort of sledges and things like that, so...
And I reckon you might have delivered. I reckon you might have delivered a few at different times too. Are you a bit chatty out there at times?
Sometimes. We were talking about this as well during the week. It's better being a midfielder because you can't necessarily do it as a defender because next thing you know, the forward kicks a goal on you and you look like an absolute goose. So I sort of try to stay away from it too much because you never know what can happen on the other end.
Well, Gary and I have talked about this many times this week because obviously it's been a big discussion point down here in Melbourne in the media. And, you know, part of playing is, A, there's the physical part of it, but then there's the mental part of it. And any edge that you can try and gain when you play out there is reasonable, I would think, under those circumstances.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think Hawthorn used to do it to us a fair bit back when they were up and going and things like that. So, you know, certain teams are a bit more lippy than the others, but, you know, it's just part of footy. It happens in every league across every, you know, all Australia. So I think it's just sometimes just a part of it.
Has Paddy McCartan surprised you, Kel?
Not really. He's a bloody gun at football, and I think everyone sort of forget there's a reason why he went number one a few years ago. And I think just the way that he's consistently done it has been incredible for us. It really changes things for us as a team, and you know, we love just having it, to be honest.
You may see where this question's going to, Kel. If there was, say, hypothetically, a really good high-profile player that was available and maybe thought that he'd like to go to Sydney at some stage, what can you offer somebody up there in Sydney?
Oh, it's a great lifestyle up here, mate. Not many people like footy up here. All know you around the traps. So, no, you know, Dusty's obviously contracted, but, you know, he's a great player and, you know, three Norm Smith, three premierships. He's a bloody handy player, that's for sure.
He'd be a nice addition, that's for sure. Hey, we look forward to seeing you in action on Friday down here at Marvel against the Blues. It's going to be a great contest. Thanks for giving us some time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Kel.
Callum Mills, Sydney co-captain there, joining us from up there in Sydney Town. I don't think he's going to be overly stressed at any stage of his footy career, Cal. He's just got it all under control right there.
He has. He saw everything coming from a mile off. I actually should have mentioned to him the fact that I think you had him as the number one player, did you not? Did we have a discussion about him about a month ago and you thought that he might have been the first player that you would pick or choose in the competition?
No, I
wouldn't embarrass him by saying that, but...
as the best two-way midfielder in the competition. That is someone that can win his own ball and influence results by that. But also, he takes responsibility for an opponent more so than a lot of those great midfielders who just go out and play. And I'm absolutely certain at some stage he'll be with Paddy Cripps tomorrow night.
Yeah, I reckon, though, their plan is, I reckon they start out in a more positive way, Sydney, and then at some stage, if somebody's getting hold of them and then... their midfield collective isn't getting the job done, then they may say to him, okay, don't be so extravagant in the way you play. You're going to have to pull back a little bit and then mind this bloke. I think they go out with a more positive frame of mind about how they want to play.
Yeah, they respond and react as it rolls along. Righto, here's your great segment, the overreactions of the week, where everyone, us involved in the media, all try and one-up ourselves to get our voices heard. What have you got?
Well, not necessarily. It might just be that emotion overtakes different people when they're making commentary around the game. This is Lingy, just on the subject that you were talking about too, about possessions and what they mean in the game.
That's all I care about from now on, Al. If you ever hear me talking about the fact that, I don't know, Darcy Parrish had 29 disposals in a game or 35 disposals in a game, and it's the junk that he's been dishing out over the last month or so, please stop me, because I don't ever want to talk about possessions for the sake of possessions.
Overreaction?
Well,
pretty reasonable.
You don't
want to talk about possessions just for the sake of possessions. That's reasonable. I'm not thinking that's an overreaction.
Well, I think it's an overreaction to maybe a couple of games that certain players may have played from time to time. Stephen A. Smith, one of our favourites over there in the States. This is James Harden after he didn't perform for the 76ers in the NBA playoffs.
This was one of the most atrocious performances by a star in NBA playoff history. James Harden was so bad last night, it almost looked like he did it on purpose.
that's an overreaction.
He did it on purpose. He did it on purpose.
Eddie on Footy Classified last night, right? Now, this is what he's done. I want to know whether you think this is an overreaction or not. He's linking fans not going to the footy to the Marlon Pickett suspension, saying that he took a dive. Have a listen to this.
Now, look at the Hawthorn player. He gets up. He hasn't got a concussion. He might have a corky. It's no problem. He's taken a bit of a dive, I reckon, to be perfectly honest. Point is,
you think that's the reason people aren't going to the football?
I think that we are sanitising the game beyond what it needs to.
That was Dylan Moore. He said he took a dive.
Yeah,
and no, we are sanitising the game to the point where we are stopping people, or people are choosing not to go and watch the game. Overreaction or not?
No, we're not saying it. We're trying to save people from horrendous concussions. That's what we're doing.
Okay. Lethal, Lee Matthews, you always listen to Lee, whatever it is that he has to say. This is Lee talking about Jordan Dugowie.
I mean, his average over his career has pretty much been, you know, 20-odd disposals and a goal. I mean, when he kicks like two or three goals and gets 20 disposals, that's when he's a weapon. So and I just think if you're talking about Jordan Dugowie as a midfielder, he's not in the best 50 in the game.
Whoa. Is that an overreaction? Jordan Dugowie not in the best 50 midfielders in the game?
Yep. I don't I ever go against Luther, but 18 teams have got three midfields at the start of each game. That's, what's that? That's 24. That's 54. I reckon he fits in.
He fits into the top 50 there somewhere. He may not be the best, but he may be towards the back end of the 50, but he's definitely in the top 50. Overreaction, Damien Hardwick talking about Dusty Martin last week.
But as we do know, you know, 50 to 60% Dustin Martin's probably better than 80% of the AFL population.
Overreaction?
50% Dusty is better than 80% of the AFL. She could be Bob's head. It could be a line baller, that one, Whispers. Maybe not an overreaction.
I think that's an overreaction. And I know you listen occasionally to the Joe Rogan podcast over in the States. Now, this is Joe talking about our beloved country and apparently a law that we've introduced or proposed up there in New South Wales. Have a listen to Jay.
I think it was New South Wales. Someone's trying to pass a law that won't allow you to grow your own food.
Oh, and they were saying, well, you could grow your own food, and what if the disease is from your food? It infects the population, kills us all.
Oh. It sounded like Young Wispy. That sounded like Young Wispy then. Give me Young Wispy.
Premiership side.
Bit of an overreaction there from Joe.
I don't know Joe got that from.
No, he got some bad mail. We're still allowed to
grow veggie. Just is no eggplant for you. That's it.
Is he getting the cob?
No, he's getting the cob. Great. We're going to send it over to Joe.
Joe Rogan is our overreactor of the week.